Good morning, everyone. It's 8:30. I'll call this meeting to order. We'll start off with roll call. Trish.
Good morning, Trish King, present.
David Jordan, present.
Kirby Matoxin, present.
Dallas Hill, present.
Daniel Guzman King, present.
Ernie Stevens, present.
Jenny is out on travel consultation in Bayfield. Brandon's at the Haskell border, Regents and Lawrence. And Lisa got in late last night from approved travel as well and will likely be late this morning. If I could ask Daniel for the prayer this morning, opening.
So what you do, Sue. Thank you for this new day, spread the life, and thank you for good health, and that we could have another opportunity to serve our nation, and ask that you continue to help us along where we may fall short, and give us wisdom and understanding as we go about our responsibilities, and just that you'd be with us in our hearts and minds today.
So looking for adoption of the agenda. I don't think there's any changes at this time.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David, second by Trish. Discussion on the agenda. Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item on our agenda is the minutes. Looking to approve the April 24th, 2019 regular business committee meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Kirby. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is the approve the May 3rd, 2019 emergency business committee meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
Support.
Motion by David, seconded by Trish. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next items under resolutions. Adopt a resolution entitled Research Requests, Review and Approval to Conduct. Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I can provide a little bit of background on this resolution. On March 20th of 2019, the LOC received a request from Chief Counsel in an effort to finalize a directive from the Oneida Business Committee. And this request was to create an Oneida Nation Institutional Review Board law, which would govern an institutional review board, which would review requests to provide community support letters and or authorization to conduct research on the nation or its members. So this resolution was included in the materials to serve as a stopgap until such a time where that law can be drafted. So although the LOC did add this item to its active files list and will be developing a law, the LOC is requesting that the business committee consider the adoption of this resolution in the meantime until that law can be developed and adopted. So this resolution provides a process and requirements for both students and educational institutions and businesses when conducting research on individuals of the nation and the nation as a whole.
David?
Make a motion to adopt a resolution entitled Research Request, Review, and Approval to Conduct.
Is there a second to that motion?
Okay.
Seconded by Kirby. Any further discussion on the resolution? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item under resolutions, adopt resolution entitled Amending Resolution BC 092618D, Boards, Committees, and Commissions Law Stipends.
Again, I can provide some background on this resolution. So on April 10th of 2019, the Oneida Nation School Board asked the Oneida Business Committee to consider amending Resolution BC 926-18D, titled Boards, Committees, and Commissions Law Stipends. And this request was to allow the school board members to receive a stipend for participating in interviews and other HR functions. So on April 10th, the business committee adopted a motion to accept the request from the Oneida Nation School Board to amend Resolution BC 926-18D and to defer the request to the Legislative Operating Committee and the Legislative Reference Office to bring back a recommendation which would support the request to include a stipend for HR functions. And the business committee based that decision off of the fact that the March 21st, 1988 Memorandum of Agreement between the Oneida Business Committee and the Oneida Nation School Board requires the school board to perform all hiring, evaluations, promotions, suspensions, and or dismissals of all personnel employed in the operation of the tribal school. So what you have before you today is a proposal to amend the stipends resolution. A red line has been included on page 33 of your packet for your convenience to see the changes. And really what the red line shows is that some background information on how this request came to be and the business committee's motivation for making the amendment is included in the whereas section. And then the LOC determined that the school board should be eligible for the same stipend the Oneida Personnel Commission is eligible for when conducting the same HR functions. So on page 35 of your packet, on line 119, you'll see that the Oneida Nation School Board was added into the stipends for interviews and job selection pre-screenings. And then I would like to highlight that the Boards, Committees, and Commissions Law states that the BC shall set stipend amounts by resolution, and additionally that the Business Committee shall determine if and when any other stipends are appropriate to compensate members of a board, committee, or commission for their official actions. And all possible stipends have to be included in the BC resolution, which sets the specific stipend amounts. So at the time the school board participated in the HR hiring functions, they were not authorized by a BC resolution to receive a stipend. So this will not be retroactively approving them for a stipend for the HR functions they've already performed. But if adopted, any future participation in those HR functions would be eligible for a stipend.
All right. Thank you, Carissa. Any other questions or comments on the resolution? Kirby?
Just to clarify that this, with making a motion to approve the resolution titled Amending Resolution BC 909-2618-D, Boards, Committees, and Commissions Law Stipends that for the school board. However, they would not be reimbursed for meetings they've already had. It would not be retroactive because it was not approved at that time. Just for clarification. And with that, I'll make a motion to approve the resolution entitled Amending Resolution BC 09-2618-D, Boards, Committees, and Commissions Law Stipends.
All right, there's a motion by Kirby. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Kirby, second by David. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item under resolutions, domestic animal law.
Today, for the business committee's consideration, we have a couple different resolutions related to the domestic animals law. The first one is just overall amendments to the domestic animals law. So in your packet, starting on page 39, you'll find an adoption packet for the amendments to the domestic animals law. And this includes an adoption memo, a resolution, a statement of effect, the legislative analysis, the red line and the clean draft, and the fiscal impact statement. So on September 19th of 2018, the LOC decided to pursue amendments to the domestic animals law. And this resolution adopts the proposed amendments to the law, which will eliminate administrative rulemaking authority delegated to the Environmental Health, Safety, and Land Division and the Environmental Resource Board, and instead require that a jointly developed fine, penalty, and licensing fee schedule be adopted by resolution. It will also do the same for rules regarding disease investigation and quarantine, and instead require that they be adopted through standard operating procedures. It will reduce the space requirements for dog kennels, provide guidelines and requirements for tethering an animal, reduce the limit on the number of dogs and cats allowed in a residential household, but allow those that wish to seek an additional animal over the limit the ability to apply for a permit to do so. Require a conditional use permit to keep hens on residential lots to be approved by the Oneida Land Commission. Limit the number of hens allowed on a residential lot to between 6 and 12 hens, depending on the lot size. Remove the prohibited animals list from the law and instead have the Oneida Business Committee adopt the prohibited animals list through resolution. It eliminates the separate vicious animal designation and replaces it with a single dangerous animal designation. And it updates the process for the Oneida Police Department and Conservation Department to declare an animal a dangerous animal. It requires animals declared dangerous to be removed from the reservation or euthanized pending appeal. It revises the timelines and requirements to contest a dangerous animal designation and includes other minor drafting revisions. So the LOC developed the proposed amendments to the domestic animals law through close collaboration with representatives from the Oneida Environmental Health, Safety, and Land Division, Oneida Comprehensive Health Division, specifically the Community Health, the Environmental Resource Board, Oneida Police Department, and Oneida Law Office. The Oneida Nation Judiciary and Oneida Land Commission were also consulted with on a more limited basis. So this was a really great example of collaboration between various departments of the nation through the legislative process, and the LOC was very appreciative of the time and the expertise that those who participated in our work groups brought to the table. In addition to the collaboration, the LOC also reviewed various laws of the nation, as well as 8 domestic animal laws from other local municipalities and tribes. So then, in accordance with the LPA, the Legislative Procedures Act, a public meeting on the proposed amendments was held on March 11th. 5 people attended the public meeting, but no one provided oral comments. The public comment period closed on March 18th. The LOC received 2 submissions of written comments during that time, and those public comments were reviewed, accepted, and considered by the LOC on April 17th, and any changes based on those comments have been incorporated into the draft. So today we're asking the Business Committee to adopt the resolution titled Amendments to the Domestic Animals Law with 1 noted change to the draft law, and we are asking that on page 93 of the packet, line 515 of the clean draft, section 304.13-5, we eliminate the sentence, cash shall not be accepted for payment of fines, from that section. And the LOC determined that this law should not address whether cash can be accepted by an entity of the nation, and that should instead be addressed by the Business Committee as a separate issue. So again, we're asking the Business Committee today to adopt the resolution titled Amendments to the Domestic Animals Law with that 1 noted change in the draft.
Are there any questions or comments on the resolution or law? Ernie?
I'll make a motion to accept this. Just have 1 comment. It's something I shared in the LOC meeting as well. And one thing I didn't cover is that according to this law as it stands, and I know we can address this with resolution by BC, but basically this opens up anybody on their reservation, if they choose to decide to open, a zoo or do a carnival and things like that, and be able to manage, these animals by taking out that clause. And I know that may never happen, but just something I brought up publicly in the LOC meeting, so I'm just sharing it here. And I know obviously we can address that. The other one is I would anticipate, and maybe I will, deal with this with my office as well, but by resolution, perhaps it'd be a good idea to, from my standpoint, to put some kind of a, or I guess it'd be a resolution to ban any deer farms on the reservation. So this law would basically allow for that. According to this law, I'm sure ERB would not approve it. I have all confidence in the process, would not allow that to happen, but just to make the statement that we wouldn't allow it within our tribal lands or on our tribal lands that we at least manage, that we wouldn't allow that. Just want to make that statement. Thank you. Mm-hmm. With that, I'll make the motion to approve it.
Second.
All right. Motion by Ernie. Seconded by Daniel. Any further discussion? Kirby?
Yeah, I just want clarification regarding the fine portion. There is a law where I believe no department can accept cash for payment, correct?
Not that we're aware of. It's my understanding that the LOC would like to ask the Business Committee to consider or having this discussion on the policy of whether an entity of the nation can accept cash, but it's not written in any law or policy yet.
The judiciary would be able to accept cash payments for any fines?
Yes, and they currently do.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next resolution entitled Domestic Animals Laws, Law, Fine, Penalty, and Licensing Fee Schedule.
So this item starts on page 111 of your packet, and the domestic animal law delegates joint authority to the Environmental Health, Safety, and Land Division and the Environmental Resource Board to develop a fine, penalty, and licensing fee schedule in regards to the domestic animals law. So both the Environmental Health, Safety, and Land Division and the Environmental Resource Board have jointly developed and approved this proposed fine, penalty, and licensing fee schedule, and this schedule is required to be adopted by the NIDA Business Committee through resolution. So this sets the specific license and permit fee amounts as well as the specific fine and penalty amounts for each various offense for a violation of the law. And what we're asking the Oneida Business Committee to do today is to adopt the resolution titled Domestic Animals Law Fine Penalty and Licensing Fee Schedule with one noted change, and that would be to include the resolution number for the amendments to the Domestic Animals Law Resolution on line 13 of this resolution.
Motion by David. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Kirby. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next resolution entitled Prohibited, adopt resolution entitled Prohibited Animals Under Domestic Animals Law.
This item starts on page 116 of your packet. So the domestic animals law states that no person shall bring into, keep, harbor, maintain, offer for sale or barter, act as custodian, have custody or control of, or release into the wild on the reservation a prohibited animal. The law then delegates authority to the Oneida Business Committee to provide which orders and families of animals, whether bred in the wild or in captivity, and any and all hybrids are prohibited from being on the reservation. So the list of prohibited animals is required to be adopted by the Oneida Business Committee through resolution. So what this resolution does is it lists all the specific orders and families of animals that are prohibited from being kept as domestic animals on the reservation. So what we're asking the business committee to do today is consider adopting the resolution titled Prohibited Animals Under the Domestic Animals Law with one noted change, and that's to add the Domestic Animals Law Amendments resolution number to line 13 of this resolution.
Trish?
I see the resolution and the analysis in the packet, but I don't see what the prohibition is with the animals. But in response to Ernie's question regarding a zoo, this would then prohibit us from having a zoo on a reservation? Is that what that is?
No. What this resolution does is it prohibits what animals can be kept in your home as a domestic animal or pet. So you couldn't personally keep any of these animals as a pet in your home. But there is an exception allowed to educational institutions or zoological or sanctuaries to receive a permit from Environmental Health, Safety, and Land Division in order to keep these prohibited animals on the reservation. And the Environmental Health, Safety, and Land Division has been developing SOPs to address when that permit would be given to people to keep these. So it's only in specialized circumstances that someone would be able to keep the prohibited animal, but not as a pet.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Ernie?
I do want to clarify, too. Just wanted to make sure that we understood that, but to also say that I'm not against zoos either. I'm a huge fan of the DeYoung Zoo up north in Menominee, Michigan. I think they do very well in taking care of whether it's a hyena or a hippo or a wolf or a deer. They do very well in making sure that they are not only enclosed, but they also they move them around quite a bit. So I'm not against zoos. Just want to make sure that does allow for us to do that if someone wanted to. I am personally against deer farms, though. Thank you.
Daniel?
I'd like the committee to consider wolves and wolf hybrids. I know there's people that I've met over time that have kept wolf hybrids as pets. And I know in other tribes and other areas of the world, they keep wolves as pets. So I don't know if the committee would like to consider taking that line out or those words out, but it's something to, I think, to consider, because there might be people on the reservation that right now that have a wolf dog, as they call them. So I don't know if the committee has any opinions on that. I think they should consider it.
Any additional questions or comments?
I don't know why it was put in there. Was it discussed by the LLC already?
Discussed it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our work meetings. I'll make a motion to approve as is.
Motion by David to adopt resolution entitled Prohibited Animals under the Domestic Animals Law. Is there a second? Clarissa?
Can I just add with the noted change to add
yes,
the resolution
yes,
number?
Yes, absolutely. With the noted change.
With the noted change. Is there a second to that motion? First call?
Second.
Kirby seconds. Any additional comments? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. One abstention. Daniel, motion carries. All right, thank yous.
I think after we implement the law, people will come forward at that point.
Were the appointments taken care of yesterday? Okay, so we're ready to make motions on those.
Oh, I didn't either.
Are they included in the notes from yesterday? All right, yes, there's two applicants. We got Berdina N. Hunter and Mercy Matoxin. Request to appoint both applicants or reject both applicants and repost the remaining vacancies. I don't know what the discussion, Ernie?
Just make a motion to approve Berdina N. Hunter and Mercy Matoxin to the Arts Board.
Second.
All right, motion by Ernie, seconded by David. Any further discussion on the appointments? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, Kirby. Motion carries. Looking for a motion to repost the remaining vacancies.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Kirby. All those in any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item. Standing committees are the Finance Committee approved the May 6, 2019 Special Finance Committee meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
Motion by David. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Trish. Any further discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, we'll vote. And all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. B, Legislative Operating Committee. Accept the April 17, 2019 regular Legislative Operating Committee meeting minutes.
So moved.
Motion by Kirby. Is there a second?
Support.
Seconded by Trish. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item under LOC, approve an amendment to the one-year review of the Children's Code to a six-month review. Good morning.
This item starts on page 127 of your packet. On July 26th of 2017, upon the adoption of the Children's Code, the Business Committee directed that a full implementation plan be submitted to the BC, with quarterly reports submitted thereafter, and a one-year review of the Children's Code itself as it relates to the law's full implementation, and to ensure that if there are any changes that are necessary, the nation is also undertaking those as well. So on September 13th of 2017, the BC reviewed and accepted the Children's Code implementation plan to be used as a guideline for the affected entities to prepare for the successful implementation of the Children's Code. The Business Committee then adopted Resolution BC 10-2418A to amend the original adopting resolution to delay the implementation of the Children's Code. So the Children's Code is now set to become effective on October 1st of 2019. Quarterly reports on the implementation of the Children's Code have been presented to the Oneida Business Committee in December of 2017, March of 2018, June of 2018, September of 2018, January of 2019, and April of 2019. So at the March 20th, 2019 LOC meeting, the LOC considered a request from the nation's Indian Child Welfare Department and attorney to hold a work meeting to discuss potential amendments to the Children's Code. The LOC then deferred this issue to a work meeting to be held on April 17th, 2019. On that day, the LOC held a work meeting with Jennifer Burke Hargrove, the Director of Children and Family Services, and Attorney Michelle Gordon, the Indian Child Welfare Department's attorney. During this work meeting, potential amendments to the Children's Code were discussed. Although the LOC decided not to pursue amendments to the Children's Code at this time, the LOC is requesting that the one-year review of the Children's Code be modified so that it occurs after 6 months of the Children's Code implementation. So the modification of when the review of the Children's Code occurs will allow the Indian Child Welfare Department the opportunity to gain firsthand experience and understanding of the procedures and processes contained in the Children's Code, which will provide valuable insight when considering future amendments. But it also allows the opportunity for the nation to consider whether amendments are needed to make the Children's Code more effective and efficient before a full year is passed. So today we are requesting the BC to consider amending the July 26, 2017 directive to complete a one-year review of the Children's Code to instead require that a review of the implementation of the Children's Code is conducted 6 months after the Children's Code takes effect.
All right, Kirby?
Yeah, in our discussions regarding the modification of the amendment from the one-year review, we took in consideration that the election will for the business committee will be, the new council will be coming in October 1st, right at the one-year term, and it wouldn't be fair to them throwing them right into making a decision to make amendments when we could do it in 6 months instead of the 1 year, and then this group would be able to review those amendments. So that's the reason for the amendments.
All right, thank you. Any further questions or comments on the request? If not, a motion will be in order. Kirby?
Make a motion to amend the July 26, 2017 directive to complete a one-year review of the Children's Code to instead require the review of the implementation of the Children's Code be conducted 6 months after the Children's Code takes effect.
Is there a second to that motion? Supported by Trish. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Clarissa.
Next item is travel. Travel reports. Item A, approved travel report for Councilman Kirby Metoxen to the Wisconsin Governor's Conference on Tourism, Wisconsin Dells, March 17th through the 20th, 2019.
So moved.
Motion by David, second by Trish. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Same.
One abstention. Kirby, motion carries. Item B under travel reports, approved travel report for Councilman Ernie Stevens III to Wisconsin Governor's Conference on Tourism, Wisconsin Dells, March 18th and 19th, 2019.
So moved.
Motion by David, seconded by Trish. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention. Ernie, motion carries. Next travel report. Ernie?
Just wanted to publicly congratulate Redcliffe for winning the award for their Frog Bay National Tribal Park at the event. I think it's really important that it's, you know, it doesn't happen all that often that we get recognized for our amazing locations among tourism in Wisconsin, and they do have a truly amazing park. So if you guys ever get a chance, please venture up to Redcliffe and hike. Go see the water. Go see the eagles. It's beautiful. So I just wanted to say that. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Ernie. Item C under travel reports, approved travel report for Councilman Ernie Stevens III for the Great Lakes Intertribal Food Summit in Dowagiac, Michigan, April 24th to the 29th, 2019.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Kirby. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Aye. One abstention, Ernie. Motion carries. Item D, approved travel report for Councilwoman Jennifer Webster to the Tribal Self-Governance Advisory Committee in Washington, D.C., October 1 through the 4th, 2018. Motion by Trish. Is there a second?
Second, noting that this was fully reimbursed by the agency, Tribal Self-Governance Advisory Committee.
Seconded by David. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, next item on the agenda is travel requests. Item A, approved travel requests in accordance with 216.16-1, 5 Child Support Staff, the National Tribal Child Support Association Conference in Temecula, California, June 23rd through the 27th.
Mr. Chair.
Trish.
A motion to defer this request until our next meeting for further discussion.
All right. There's a motion by Trish to defer this item to the next VC meeting. Is there a second? Discussion?
Second.
Kirby seconds. Discussion?
Good morning.
Morning.
This is the item from the Tribal Child Support Department. The only issue that I have is if we defer it, the conference registration and things have already passed the due date, and participants would not be able to attend and pay an extra fee. So every year, this is an annual conference, and it's 100% grant funded through our program. So I was wondering if you had any questions, I could address them now for you. In the past, we've had upwards of 6 participants attend this travel conference every year. And this is our 11th year.
Are there are there certificate requirements? Do you get a certificate for going, or is it a requirement of this is why it's tabled, because we didn't wait. Oh, there's no discussion. Did I defer it or table it?
You deferred.
I'm sorry. Okay.
There's not a certificate that you receive after completion. It is a national tribal conference. It's the only tribal child support conference nationally that has 5 different tracks, legal track, case manager track, director track, that all tribal child support agencies attend. It's not required, but we do attend because it's important that they're able to get that training once a year. Any new legislation that comes down is also given there. OCSE, the Office of Child Support Enforcement, is there from the federal government. We get any instructions from them regarding our grants from that conference as well.
Okay.
So that's why it's important for us to be there.
Well, I understand there's some other questions that we need to address, and yet we can't discuss them in open session. So I think we will ask if I could change my motion to a table versus a defer, because I don't know exactly when we're going to be able to address it.
So Trish is withdrawing your motion for a deferral and making a subsequent motion to table this item?
Yes, yes, please.
The seconder concur, Kirby?
Yes.
All right. So technically it changed from being able to have discussion now to no discussion on a tabled item.
Yeah. So it didn't help.
We understand the request. Okay.
Okay. Okay. All right. It's motion to table this item, so there's no discussion on a tabled item. We just go to the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Those abstaining? All right. Motion to table carries. The next item under travel requests, approved travel request for Councilman Kirby Metoxin to the 2019 Native American Tourism Wisconsin Conference in Odena, Wisconsin, June 9th through the 11th, 2019.
So moved.
Motion by Ernie. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by David. Noting also that NATAL is funding this travel.
Yep.
All right. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, Kirby. Motion carries. Next travel request, item C. Approved travel request for Councilman Kirby Metoxin and one staff member to the disinterment from Carlisle Boarding School, Carlisle, Pennsylvania, June 17th through the 21st, 2019.
So moved.
Motion by David. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Ernie. All in discussion. Kirby?
Yeah, this travel is all funded through the Army Corps of Engineers. And we will be having three children from Carlisle Cemetery being returned to the Oneida Reservation, and a total of, I believe it's 12 tribal members that will be going out at the expense of the Army Corps of Engineers.
Ernie?
Just want to say, I think this is a positive thing, and just tell Kirby good work on following through and helping, you know, make this happen. And I guess my only question is there any plans or any, like, upon the return, is that going to be private? Just so we know, and be interesting to, I mean, is there going to be any kind of commencement or welcoming or anything? I don't know what the protocols are for something like this.
Well, there's three different families that will be traveling out there. Each one have a different belief. So based on how they're going to move forward will be up to the individual families. And I believe every family had to work through a funeral home here locally. And so however those families are going to be moving forward, I'm for the Ophelia Paulus, there will be a service at the Stone Church, Episcopal Church, and probably like a funeral service where she will be then laid to rest in the Episcopal Cemetery. There's two other families. I believe they are utilizing the Oneida Cemetery, but I'm not positive what their plans are. So as it gets closer, I'm sure we'll have more information on that.
Let's just follow up. It'd be good to know, you know, I guess for the community, if there are descendants of these three individuals, and maybe they would like to attend, and if they do know, I know that's kind of a process, but just a recommendation if that's not already being done, is just to see if we can do that. I certainly am curious about it. You know, would love to attend if that is a an ancestor of mine. So, just a recommendation. Thanks.
All right. Thank you for your questions and comments. Any other further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, Kirby. Motion carries. Item D, approve travel requests for Councilwoman Jennifer Webster to the Administration of Children and Families Tribal Advisory Committee meeting in Washington, D.C., May 28th through the 31st, 2019.
Motion to approve, and noting that this is also a grant funded in reimbursement.
Motion by David. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Kirby. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item E. Enter the e-poll results into the record regarding approval for the travel request for Vice Chairman Brandon Stevens to attend the Spring Haskell Board of Regents meeting in Lawrence, Kansas, May 7th through the 10th.
So moved.
Motion by David. Is there a second? Seconded by Trish. Any further discussion? Trish? All right. I know that your mic is.
The board.
Somebody turned it on. Turned it off. just to note that I believe this travel is funded by the organization, the Haskell Board of Regents.
All right. Thank you for the notation. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? One abstention. Ernie. Motion carries. Next item under new business, approve reallocation of $3,000 from the Oneida Business Committee Special Projects line to cover travel expense to the Addressing Homelessness in Tribal Areas training.
Motion to approve.
There's a motion by David. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ernie. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item B, repost one vacancy for the Oneida Community Library Board.
So moved.
Motion by David. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Ernie. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item C, request to repost one vacancy for the Oneida Police Commission.
So moved.
Motion by Kirby. Is there a second? Seconded by Trish. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next, item D, approve request to repost two vacancies for the Oneida Nation School Board.
So moved, noting that these are parent positions.
All right, motion by David. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Ernie. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next, item E, motion to approve a limited waiver of sovereign immunity for the following industrial hemp vendors. All right. Good morning.
Good morning. Before we move to this item, I do want to talk very briefly about the next agenda item. I would request that the business committee delete this from open session, move it into executive session, and redact the public record in regards to the next item on the agenda. Thank you.
Item E. This item E?
F.
Okay. Do we address it when we get to F then? All right, so we're on item E, approve a limited waiver of sovereign immunity for the Chavi Seed LLC Hemp Seed Stewardship Agreement, file number 2019-0363.
Good morning, Mike Troji with Eco Services Department. Shiavi is a fiber seed provider located in Kentucky, Lexington, Kentucky, and we're currently putting an agreement together for them. We are asking for a waiver of sovereign immunity. Most of the issues associated with all of these hemp agreements are primarily related to genetic modifications, selling seed as opposed to the final product. So essentially they don't want us to sell their seed. We're basically only held to planting it and growing it and then using the product for our own use. We are in communication with them on an ongoing basis to make sure that they meet all nation requirements while we try to meet their expectations as well from a proprietary standpoint. Hemp industry is a very proprietary place right now, and I think trying to meet those needs is challenging, but possible.
All right, so any further discussion on the item E? If not, a motion would be in order. All right, Trish makes the motion, seconded by Daniel. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. There was a request to delete and redact from the public record item F and move it to executive session.
So moved.
Motion by David. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Kirby. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. So we'll carry on to item G. Approve a limited waiver of sovereign immunity for Canopy LLC Master Purchase Agreement file number 2019-0479.
Again, very similar comments to the Shiavi contract. One thing about the Canopy contract is that they are local. They are readily available for any tours and things like that. They are very agreeable to assistance on search projects, as well as doing some field work for us as well.
Any discussion on the topic? If none, a motion to approve a limited waiver of sovereign immunity would be in order.
So
motion by Daniel. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Ernie. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item, H, approve amendment number 2 to the Memorandum of Agreement for U.S. Indian Health Service Bemidji Area Project BE-18-K34. All right. Thank you, everyone. Don't go too far.
Motion to approve.
Second. A motion by David, seconded by Daniel. Discussion, any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The last item. Enter e-poll results into the record regarding approval of the MOU between Wisconsin DOT and Oneida Nation file number 2019-0298 and authorization for the chairman to sign.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Kirby. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. We have General Tribal Council. Item A, approve meeting minutes portion of the 2019 semi-annual GTC meeting packet. I believe that was a handout. Questions or comments for Lisa? If not, a motion would be in order to approve the meeting minutes portion of the July 2019 semi-annual GTC meeting packet.
So moved.
Motion by David. Is there a second? Is there a second? Is there first call for a second?
I'll second that. I'll support it.
Seconded by Kirby. Any discussion on the draft?
Yes, I guess my question is, Kirby, why are we getting this so late?
Lisa?
So in the packet that was prepared on Friday, there are like four sets of minutes that are in your meeting packet. In that, in the meeting packet, the business committee meeting packet that was posted on Friday, there's a placeholder for this single set of minutes. I was unable to get it downloaded from Dropbox from the transcriptionist. So this portion of that larger minutes packet was a handout today.
All right. Thank you for the explanation.
And then approving this would alleviate some of the pressure from printing because they can get this section of the semi-annual meeting materials printed ahead of time.
Any further discussion? If not, there's a motion by David, seconded by Kirby. We'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, thank you. Item B, schedule a special business committee meeting on June 3rd, 2019 at 1:30 p.m. to approve the 2019 semi-annual GTC meeting materials.
So moved.
Motion by David. Is there a second? Seconded by Trish. Discussion? Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, I believe that concludes our open session portion of our meeting. We got operational reports that start at 1:30 this afternoon, starting with the Human Services Service Group second quarter report at 1:30. Looking for a motion to go back into executive session to address item F.
Second.
Motion by Trish, seconded by David to go into executive session at 9:24. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. We are now in exec.
You hear a big clump like
we're looking for a motion to come out of executive session at 9:28.
So moved.
Motion by David, seconded by Trish. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, we're going to take our executive session action. Item number one, accept the gaming general manager FY 2019 second quarter executive report.
So moved.
Motion by Ernie. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item, suggested action, is to accept the comprehensive housing. Did I skip one? I did. Except.
Do I need to abstain from all these since I wasn't a part of the discussion?
Again, yeah. Item number two, accept the Environmental Health Safety and Land Division Fiscal Year 19 Second Quarter Executive Report.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Trish, seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? One abstention, Daniel. Motion carries. Item number three, accept the Comprehensive Housing Division Fiscal Year 2019 Second Quarter Executive Report.
So moved.
Motion by Kirby. Is there a second?
Support.
Second by Trish. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, Daniel. Motion carries. Item number four, accept the Human Resources Fiscal Year 2019 Second Quarter Executive Report. Wish there was no items to discuss. Oh. Or you want to take action to delete?
Yeah, I guess. Motion to delete. Item number four for the Human Resources Fiscal Year 2019 Second Quarter Executive Report.
Chief Counsel.
You can't actually delete it from the agenda because it's a required report, and the reporting was that there was nothing to report. I would simply request the business committee to accept it as FYI that there was nothing to report.
So move to accept as information only.
All right. Motion by Trish to accept as information the Human Resource FY 19 Second Quarter Executive Report. Is there a second? Is there a second?
The information was that there was no information.
First call for a second.
I'll support that, but I do have a question. So if there was nothing to report, is that meaning they did nothing?
No, it just means there was no executive session items to report.
They have the quarterly report in open session, so there's nothing executive-wise.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Motion by Trish, seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Oppose? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, David. All those motion carries. Item number five. Motion to accept the Retail Enterprise Fiscal Year 19 Second Quarter Executive Report.
So moved.
Motion by David. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Ernie. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? One abstention, Daniel. Motion carries. Subsequent motion to send the discussion regarding budget projections to the June 18th, 2019 BC work session.
So moved.
Support. Motion by David, seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion. One abstention, Daniel. Motion carries. Number six. For a motion to accept the Emergency Management Fiscal Year 19 Second Quarter Executive Report.
So moved.
Support.
Motion by Trish, seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? One abstention, Daniel. Motion carries. Looking for a subsequent motion. Direct that all operations, divisional and non-divisional, ensure compliance with the BC Resolution 31407A. Nation Incident Management System within 6 months.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Trish, seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention, Daniel. Motion carries. Number seven, suggested action is to accept the Chief Counsel Report dated May 7th, 2019.
Support.
Motion by Kirby. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Subsequent actions to approve the legal service contract with Hobbs, Strauss, Dean & Walker, LLP, file number 2019-0522.
So move.
Motion by Trish. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. Under unfinished business B1, accept the discussion regarding the retail variance report follow-up as information.
So move.
Second.
Motion by Trish, seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? One abstention, Daniel. Motion carries. New business, C1. Suggested action, direct the general manager and chief counsel to follow up with the identified concerns and bring back a report within 30 days.
So move.
Second.
Motion by Trish, seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention, Daniel. Motion carries. Item number 2, accept the discussion regarding review applications for 7 vacancies for the Oneida Nation Arts Board.
So moved.
Motion by Ernie, seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention, Daniel. Motion carries. Item number 3, suggested action, accept the discussion and the annual projection targets reports for the BCDR04 as information.
So moved.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by Ernie. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? One abstention, Daniel. Motion carries. Item number 4, review and approve annual projected target reports for BCDR05 as information.
So moved.
Motion by Kirby. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. One abstention, Daniel. Number 5, accept the discussion on the annual project target reports for BCDR06 as information. Motion by Kirby. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? One abstention, Daniel. Motion carries. Item number 6, suggested action, accept the discussion and annual project target report for BCDR07 as information.
So moved.
Second. Motion by David, seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? One abstention, Daniel. Motion carries. Item 7, suggested action, accept the discussion for the annual project target reports for BCDR09 as information.
So moved.
Motion by Kirby. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? One abstention, Daniel. Motion carries. Item 8, suggested action is to accept the discussion and the annual project target reports for BCDR10 as information.
So moved.
Motion by David. Is there seconded by Kirby? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. One abstention, Daniel. Next item, number 9, suggested action is to accept the discussion and the annual project target report for BCDR12 as information.
So moved.
Motion by Kirby. Is there a second?
So second.
Seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention, Daniel. Motion carries. Item 10, suggested action is to accept the discussion for the annual project targets report for GMDR01 as information.
So moved.
Motion by David, seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? One abstention, Daniel. 2 and Ernie. Motion carries. Next item, 11, suggested motion, accept the discussion annual project target reports for GMDR-02 and GMDR-03 as information.
So moved.
Motion by David, seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? One abstention, Daniel. Motion carries. Item 12, suggested action, approve the discussion and annual project targets report for GMDR-04 as information. Motion by Kirby. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? One abstention, Daniel. Motion carries. Next, item 13, suggested action is to accept the discussion and the annual project targets report for GMDR-05 as information.
Second.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. One abstention, Daniel. Item 14, suggested action is to accept the discussion and the annual project target reports for GMDR-06 as information.
So moved.
Motion by Kirby. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by David. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? One abstention, Daniel. Motion carries. Item 15, the suggested action is to accept the discussion and the annual project targets reports for GMDR-07 as information.
So moved.
Motion by David, seconded by Kirby. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? One abstention, Daniel. Motion carries. Item 16, the suggested action is to accept the discussion and the annual project target reports for GMDR-08 as information. Motion by Kirby. Is there a second?
Support.
Seconded by Trish. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Two abstentions, Ernie and Daniel. Motion carries. And then there was the item that just got moved from open to executive session. And that is approve a limited waiver of sovereign immunity for the Cultivase Bio LLC purchase and sales agreement file number 2019-0477.
So moved.
Motion by Trish, seconded by Daniel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, so I believe that takes care of all of our executive session action and this morning's open session items. So a motion to recess till 1:30 for operational reports.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Trish, seconded by David. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you, everyone. All right, good afternoon, everyone. It's 1:31. I'll call us back to order from recess. This afternoon, we have the operational reports. Number one on the agenda, the Human Services Service Group Fiscal Year 2019 Second Quarter Report.
Good afternoon.
All right, if you guys want to go over some of the highlights of your report.
Okay, we have three outcomes. First outcome is being the high level of service resulting in a great customer experience. And some of the things that are being done, SMART goals and being measured are to increase staff competencies. Staff are developed career plans with training availabilities to see what they have that they can go to on an annual basis. The food distribution is being revamped to a store concept. I'm sure you're aware of that. That'll give the clients a better experience as far as getting the right foods and things that they need. I'm not sure, you know, if you want me to, the accomplishments, there's a listing of those and how they relate to the nation's priorities. Is that the all priority areas deal with customer service and should be practicing excellent customer service to provide all clientele with that great customer experience. And then what memberships can expect, there's different things that are happening that are highlighted in there as well. Outcome number two is to have a better quality of life. And again, these are difficult to put into a graph because each area have different SMART goals and are having different measurements. So it's hard to do one graph across the board. So, and if somebody has any ideas of how we can do that, we'd appreciate those. I think one of the areas we're going to look at is how does the quality of life do their measurements, and maybe that's something that we can model ours after as well. For a better quality of life, some of the SMART goals is to increase customer utilization, increase physical activity. Nutrition classes are being held now, which are very well received. And it supports the nation's priorities because, but more specifically, human services areas work collaboratively with the healthcare, such as fitness has a diabetes program, and many of the departments within the human services areas are implementing more culture and language into their programs. Outcome number three is to have environments that thrive with active community engagement. And some of those SMART goals are to do survey results, and which determines the need and gaps of the programs and services. Pursue applicable grants. Focus on the grants that do not require a tribal contribution match. The way that it relates to the priorities is determining the wants and needs of Oneida is not only a key to a great customer experience, but a better quality of life, and having people be actively engaged in the processes builds relationships and trust, which is an important factor to have within all the nation's priority areas.
Daniel?
I appreciate the fact that you guys are focusing on great customer experience. I was just kind of just during the lunch hour, I was thinking about that, and I had stopped at the casino and was evaluating my customer experience over there. And I think it's incredibly important, not just looking at those areas that are revenue generators, but all of our areas that we all have customers. Doesn't matter, you know, which position you're in. You're serving someone and having to build relationships with someone, and creating a great customer experience is creating a positive life experience for any individual. And that, you know, if you're creating positive experiences, they're going to have, you know, a positive outlook on you know, those individuals or area in the nation or on their own life. Versus a negative experience, then that can have a negative trickle effect. So definitely appreciate the focus on that, and I would just encourage more training on changing our customer service level. So thank you.
Thank you.
Ernie?
On the grants discussion, because this is something we brought up a number of times in recently regarding, I guess, different areas looking for different grants and kind of getting on the same page and how we go after them. You mentioned that you were going to try to go around grants that required matches. So one recent conversation, just to kind of let you know, is specific to the 200-year, as there's specific grants through NEH mostly that I can see your area going after. Some of which do require those matches, usually 25% maximum. That can include staff time as well. But the budgeting that we're putting aside for that event every year, even though there's no amounts allocated, that was one of the purposes. If those grants arise, that could be used for that potentially. So just to keep that in mind, that we encourage you guys to keep those open to consider, and that that will be there for that purpose. But that's it. Thanks.
Thank you. Will do.
Kirby.
I just wanted to follow up on the cook-off thing. Did that happen, or it's going to happen? The three cook-off for with food from the food pantry?
That's coming up soon.
That they do?
Yeah.
No, was there a cook-out, a cook-off?
Yeah. It says three cooks will be doing a cook-off.
I'm not sure when that's scheduled for. I did see it come across on the update Oneida.
In May?
Yeah, there was, I can't recall the flyer.
Okay.
But I think it is, it wasn't scheduled for May, I believe.
Yeah. Is it? So your only question, Kirby?
That's
okay. Ernie?
Yeah, just a comment. I think, is that the one that's out in Site 2?
Yeah, it was going to be focused on Site 2 residents.
It's next Thursday, I believe.
It's food distribution.
Yeah, with food distribution.
Yeah.
It's next, I believe it's next Thursday, but yeah, it's next week, as I understand.
The one they didn't want a lot of people to come because they only had food for Site 2.
Yeah.
That one.
Okay.
Bring your own.
For your information.
Monday morning.
All right. Any other questions for the report? David?
A motion to accept Human Services Group FY 2019 second quarter report.
Is there support?
Support and comment.
All right. David made the motion, supported by Trish. Discussion, Trish?
First, I want to thank you for the format. Operationally, I think this is probably the first that I've seen that's come through that talks about what you're doing to support the people through the nation's vision and mission and the strategic goals. So I appreciate the work coming in together. I see you sitting here together, and I can read that there's connectivity and synergies in here for purposes of clearly understanding and moving faster. If we can reduce the verbiage and get back into the pictures, like Joni's always doing the pictures. So I think that would show a lot easier, and you can have captions and get your points across that way. This is excellent for your operational needs, and I think it really sets the tone for what you're trying to get your operations to support. So I want to thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
Any other discussion on the report? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, thank yous.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Item number two under operational reports is the Housing Service Group Fiscal Year 19 Second Quarter Report. Scott's here to represent.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I will go over the highlights of the report, which consisted of three outcomes as well. The first of which is housing's continued focus and research for alternate funding sources for residential development and or housing programs. The activities as of late has consisted of pursuing continued information regarding low-income housing tax credits, working directly with WIDA, entities like Travoy. In a nutshell, low-income tax credits would be a funding source that would still focus on income-based housing, but it would definitely be an alternate source than the Indian Housing Block grants, which a project like this would allow us to infill much quicker than what we are with the annual Indian Housing Block grant. And it would also support that
We continue to have about 70% of our wait list for the income-based program consist of households at or below 50% to median income. And the low-income tax credit model has a maximum of 60% median income. So that would help address that larger percentage of our wait list quicker. Another thing that's been being looked at is more of a moderate income home ownership mortgage model through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Some of the highlights that would bring to the table is more flexible loan processing, otherwise known as underwriting, competitive interest rates, and historically those programs have been great opportunities for first-time home buyers. So those are some of the different funding sources that we've been looking into and pursuing. Outcome number two focuses on optimal operations to sustain and maintain the general rental properties. As the CHD was formed, one of the areas that we identified that had the most maybe concern as we went into this was the general rental properties, ensuring that they were financially sound and able to support the program in itself. We went into it anticipating running at a loss, if you will, meaning not enough revenue, of course, to cover expenses. So far, we're pleasantly pleased with being able to report that the expenses consist of about $229,000 year-to-date and the revenue about $252,000. So we're not quite operating the way that we anticipated. We're obviously operating better. Just to highlight those expenses, help support a five-member staff, which consists of three maintenance staff members, a property manager, and contributes to the funding for the front desk staffing that addresses the non-federal side of the house at CHD. Those expenses also support repairs, maintenance, and rehab, and various operational costs. We are finding that we are having to reinvest into the properties. It appears that as we get into them, they haven't been reinvested into quite as often as maybe they need to, so we're having to do that. Emphasis on the revenue, just to reiterate that the sole revenue for the program is the rent that's being paid. So, of course, a combination of how we operate, the laws that have been put in place, the processes through the eviction termination law, warning letters, and things like this has really helped contribute to increasing how many people are actually paying their rent payments, which is bringing this revenue in. An added note would be that previously the occupancy rate for the general rental property was at 88%. We're currently running at 96% occupancy rate. And, of course, that's coming from a focus of getting staff out there, flipping those units, getting people in them, and getting that revenue from those properties. So we're pleased with those outcomes. The third outcome is increase the community/GTC awareness of housing programs and how they operate. So we're doing a continued focus on, you know, increasing our public relations through the Gully, our website, Facebook, different community outreach efforts to just improve either the perception of what housing is or even just to clarify how these programs work. You know, there's been a lot of changes with the creation of CHD, with the adopting of laws and rules. You know, there's been a lot of changes for people. And of course, many of the people that we serve are long-term, and they're aware of maybe some of the previous rules or some of the previous policies. And so that's what this PR is about. And it's anticipated that we would actually, in the not-too-distant future, be developing more of a focused housing marketing team to hone in a little bit heavier on that effort.
All right, questions or comments? Daniel?
In reference just to my previous comment on the previous report, I would just encourage customer service training also.
I'm sorry, Daniel, I didn't hear you.
I would encourage customer service training for all areas just creating a better experience for our tribal members as a whole.
Absolutely. And it's not in the report, but recently there was some focus I had done with primarily the rental program staff, which consists of quite a few people. And we had brought in and attended to, like, one of the more recent customer service trainings was dealing with difficult people. And it's a customer service focused initiative to help staff more appropriately, in a positive customer service way, deal with those difficult situations. And those types of trainings are something that are offered through an entity called Fred Pryor, and those are things that I continue to look for to expose the staff to. So I can appreciate your comment.
Thank you. Yep.
Are there any other questions or comments?
Not on the report. Never
mind. Okay. If not, a motion be in order to accept the Housing Service Group Fiscal Year 19 Second Quarter Report.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Trish, seconded by Daniel. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Trish?
I just have a question on the IHP.
Okay.
That usually comes to us in July. Is there any way we can get it a little bit earlier than the due date?
I will.
We usually get called.
I will forward that to Dana.
I'm wondering how that whole process works, where you get your information to determine what the projects will be.
A lot of that is waitlist driven. You know, and then some of that is also also reviewed is the historical projects that we've done. So my understanding is that one of the things that she's focusing on for the next coming IHP might be to focus on some home ownership development, through our rent-to-own program. So it's a combination of, in that case, that would be a combination of how many people are on the wait list. Another specific would be is how long have they been on the wait list, because that program is a bit slow moving historically. And then thirdly, what kind of projects have we focused on in the past? Often it's very heavily focused on the rental program, and then the rent-to-own program gets put in the, on the back burner. So it'd be variables like that would tie into those projected projects. And when it comes to the rehab projects, it'd be very similar. What have we done in the past? What kind of renovations need to happen out there? Do we need roofs? Do we need windows? Do we need doors? That type of thing. But I'll certainly ask her to get that draft to you earlier than July.
Yeah, and that's kind of, those are the questions, what you just answered, those are the questions that I sent her from, that I'm looking for to clarify some of the statistic information.
Okay. Yeah, I saw she reached out to your office yesterday.
Right. Daniel?
I'm not sure. I didn't see it on here. Do you guys have any updates from the Housing Task Force? I'm not sure what the new name is, your guys' group.
There is a Housing Strategic Team. I think that's the title, something like that, with planning. Is that the one you're referring to?
It's a combination of planning, housing.
Yep, yep.
That came out of CDPC.
I myself don't have a lot of update on that. I know that there's been a few meetings. There hasn't been all that many. I think there's one coming up, I believe, tomorrow afternoon.
Okay.
And what I'll note, actually, is that maybe that's something that I can ask Dana to update you guys around. I think she does that sometimes around roundtable.
Okay, yeah. No, CDPC is fine, but I was thinking
or CPC?
It would be a good part of a quarterly report.
Okay.
For the housing service group, the task force can give a report in the future. That would be good.
I'm noting that. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Trish?
One more question. Sorry, was in discussion. but looking at measurements in your objective number 3 in regards to getting more communication out to the membership, their buy-in. I've seen myself some of the articles and everything that goes on. I don't look at Facebook or social media too much anymore. So I'm wondering, how are you measuring whether or not you're successful in that?
Okay. I will actually ask her to maybe enhance that portion of the report to emphasize, you know, how those would be being measured.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, to conclude our discussion on this topic. All right. Thank you, Scott. We're moving on to the next one.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. The next report is the Planning, Zoning, and Development Service Group Fiscal Year 19 Second Quarter Report. Safety.
I marked all mine down.
Would you be the only one representing public safety? Okay. Sure, come on up. If you're here and available, let's get her done.
Number four.
Yeah, so we're going.
Okay. Sure. So you guys have the report. Some of the talking points that we were just looking at with the design of the current reporting structure. For number one, we just had the collaboration with internal and external entities. We measured the interactions with the internal and external entities. The police, where's the numbers? It was kind of, you can see on here, fiscal year 17, police had 285, EM had 157. DPW's numbers were inadvertently noted unavailable, but their internal interactions are measured by their work orders completed. For fiscal year 17, they had 4,682, and then we reported fiscal year 18 and fiscal year 19. The outcome for the chart number two was also measured by the number of community outreach. We were wondering a little bit with how to display that, because some of us were the number of outreach things that we went to, and then some of the numbers were the number of contacts at the outreach. So there's a little bit of some, that's why if you look at the chart number two, some of the numbers are really high and some of them are really low. So we kind of we have to collaborate to figure out the best way that we can report those numbers. And then for the third chart, we looked at the community services, and like OPD reported by the number of calls that they had, which was 9,801, whereas up to this point in the year, whereas EM had 24 and DPW had 2,688 work orders completed, and environmental had 137 contacts. So we found that through completing the template, some of the charts appear to be a little bit skewed. The PD's measuring calls for service, which is almost 10,000, where I provide nowhere near 10,000 contacts, you know, with some of the stuff that I do. So we were just trying to figure out, we're going to review the charts so that the numbers don't look, it doesn't appear that people or different areas aren't accomplishing things. It's just we're trying to figure out what's the best way to provide the numbers to give the information that is being sought, as well as to provide the community with when we these go into the semi-annual report, a good representation of what's being completed. Because our areas are so vastly different, and you know, depending on what numbers we use to measure, it kind of makes the chart go very high or very low.
Thank you. questions or comments on the report? Ernie?
Just to add as a FYI, we're looking at the curfew law right now. It's in the process of, through our LLC process. So I know that'll probably be something you guys might take on to some extent as well.
Okay.
So just FYI.
Police department's working on that? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out, like I said, what's the best way that we can represent everything that all of us together combined do to make it look, to figure out how we can best represent the things that we're doing.
Any other questions or comments on the report? Trish?
I'm thinking the number of calls and work orders is a basis that you can measure easily.
Right.
But the actual outcome of those how does the whole team? I'm going to say for a good example is community outreach or community where like OPD was doing a. Sing, they got the officers involved and the
right.
community involved, and everybody was involved with the process, and it was to try and get trust built up and relationships and teaching the people who our officers are and, you know, the actual benefit of what you do besides the number of calls.
Okay, I can let them know that. That was kind of our thing when we were talking about the outreach. It was, are we measuring it by the number of events, or are we measuring it by the number of people that are attending the events and what the events are for?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where we're trying to figure out how we can all align that. It's obviously like with environmental, they have their different outreach things that they do, and then they also do, you know, like when they had monitored, like the number of licenses that they had, the number of inspections that they did, classes they held. So we're just trying to figure out how we can best provide that information, and then also the benefit of all the different programs that are available. But there's like 150 words, you know, that we have to fit all of those different areas into that little space of what we're all completing and try to give the best representation of the group as a whole. So there's not a lot of, you know what I'm saying? It's like because of the limited amount of language that we can put in there, it's difficult to provide a very good representation of everything that's actually happening. So we try to do that.
And I think that's where I have that same kind of problem,
mm-hmm.
is getting into that detail.
Right.
So if you just put your task list and your data
mm-hmm.
in a position, it's where you can see it, and then try to figure out the words that encompass all of it.
Right.
So it is difficult. I understand that. I know it very well. But I think it goes to as the team works together, their strategic goals direct for public safety overall.
Right.
There should be three SMART goals for the team overall.
Right.
And then not the individual units, what they do to that,
right.
but collectively, what do we do? So your emergency management training.
Right.
That's collectively for the operations, for the nation, for all of your public safety people.
Right.
You know, in the community. So I think, you know, that's elevating it up, you know, to that's the kind of thing that we're looking at is what, not the actual event, but
okay.
what is the initiative and what are you trying to accomplish, and then look at it from that perspective.
Okay. That I can bring that back to the group for sure.
Any other questions or comments on the report? Not a motion to accept the Public Safety Service Group second quarter report would be in order.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Trish, seconded by Ernie. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, moving on to the Government Administration Service Group second quarter report.
Scully. There's very, very little change as far as from the measurement perspective. The 28 fund units, for the most part, have measurements in place. There's five that are still working on them. There's 12 that are not measuring of the 50. So for the most part, the bulk of them have measurements placed. They are measuring. There's been very little change movement on that. However, just working with some of the individual managers or directors of these, they're starting to kind of understand and grasp what it is that users are looking for from a measurement perspective. So one good example is Lee Thomas, accounting, had called and talked about his 3-year outcomes. And I asked him, I said, well, you're reporting that you're completed. So if you're completed with your outcomes, it's not really a SMART goal. It's really a task. And he said, no, it's a SMART goal. It's what we want to accomplish. And I said, well, you can't be completed with a SMART goal in 6 months, Lee. But we are. We're meeting that. You're meeting the benchmark, but you're not full 3-year completion of what you want to accomplish, unless at the end of the 3 years you have made every month what you want to do. So there's people better understanding it. So the change in some of the data is that, for that one example, Lee said, oh, okay, I get it. You know, we're about a 3 or 4 to accomplishing what we want to do. So he changed it from a 100% completion to about a 30% based upon a 36-month, 3-year plan. And I think that's the kind of questions I'm getting overall from everybody. They're not, for some reason, they're not grasping this is a 3-year triennial strategic plan. So that's the positive. The accomplishments, I think one of the nice things is grants is reporting $4.9 million in funded grants. So they have that was one of their SMART goals, is that they're going to go and acquire this additional monies, knowing that the tribe is in, not a bad scenario with federal funding, but obviously not a good scenario. So grants is stepped up, and they're measuring it and so forth. I also think the nice thing I wanted to point out is that 55% of our employment base is enrolled Oneidas. And for the longest time, we were at 49%, 50%. So 55% is awesome, and it's moving up. Of that number, I don't know how many are directors, managers, and supervisors, because that's also another General Tribal Council directive, that all those positions be held by enrolled Oneidas. There were some areas that were closer to 100%, and there were some areas that were very low, but the overall is 55% are enrolled Oneidas. And I guess the only other thing in looking at the small change, and I think this is something that I have two final comments. The first one is regards to the good governance principles. So you as a business committee would like to see government administration focusing on how we're meeting those 8 good governance principles: rule of law, effective efficiency, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So in talking with lots of different people, I think the plan is to first create a resolution which you supported 2 months ago and start working on that, to have clear definitions of what rule of law is, of what effective and efficiency is, of what communication is. Roll that out to all the 28 fund units, as well as the boards, committees, and commissions. Lisa Liggins has been helping me with how we're trying to slowly bring in the 16 boards, committees, commissions, and the judiciary to reporting from the government administration perspective. And that's just going to take time. And it's using the good governance principles, and then communicating out probably late summer, now that we have everybody understanding, now they're actually should be measuring, you know, are they meeting their activities, their benchmarks to what rule of law is, to what effectiveness and efficiency is, to what communication is. And that's just going to take time, because not everybody has a full understanding of good governance principles. So that's my first comment. My second comment is, in working with everybody, the 28 fund units, and the movement of our measurements is very, I don't want to say minute, but we're moving, so that's a positive. So that is a validation that people are measuring. I don't know if there's a need to do quarterly reporting. And I think that's probably a conversation the business committee needs to have with the general manager once the transition occurs. I'm thinking because the treasurer is wanting measurements to become and show the value of what the operations are doing for the people, I don't know if quarterly reporting is efficient for your time as well as the operations time. And I'm thinking an annual reporting in March or April prior to the semi-annual booklet as we're creating that would be more effective and efficient use of everybody's time to create that and report on their measurements annually. But doing it every 3 months, you see it, the graphs I created, there's some change, but really the change is minute. So that's my thought for your consideration, and I believe Lisa Liggins can correct me. This is being placed on either the next BC work session for dialogue on how we're going to transition these 13 service groups, because the bulk of them are under the purview of the general manager. Not all of them, but the bulk of them. So I don't know if you have any questions on the report, on the accomplishments, or any of the comments.
Questions or comments from the committee? Trish?
First of all, I want to thank you, specifically you, for coordinating all of this information and trying to get it into an understandable format. Working with the operations and helping them understand what we're asking for above and beyond the service groups. So I appreciate the work that you're doing on that. the report, the recommendations on the quarterly reports, I think for me personally, even though we're going to transition that over to the general manager and some, there will also be some that are still have to come here. But it's really to keep track of what progress is. So I would say at least semi-annually, not annually, because we got to keep the pulse and make sure that everybody's staying on track and not just measuring at the end of the year. I think one of the important keys to this whole initiative is to measure as you're going along so you can stay on track with your own SMART goals. But this is all of the internal support operations that support all of the business units. And so it's been, and it's a change for all of them also because they're taskers and doers versus planners and oversighters. So I think this has been experience and I'm pleased with the outcome, and I think that it shows that we can all actually work together to help get to the direction that we need to get into. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Kirby?
Yeah. Brian, I understand what you're saying about the quarterly meeting. There's not much change, and is it just busy work, and should it be annually? I think that's what we'll end up discussing, whether it's an annual and a biannual, and is quarterly too soon. But like Trish is saying, that we're able to track it a little closer by quarterly. So, but I agree with you that I think that quarterly is a little bit much.
Any other questions or comments?
All operate, not just government.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Make a motion to accept the Government Administrative Service Group FY 2019 second quarter report.
Motion by David. Is there a second?
Support.
Supported by Kirby. Any further discussion? Seeing none, I'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions, motion carries. All right.
Thank you.
Brian?
Is it okay to go to the education literacy one? because I can speak to that if you want to.
That one was going to be deferred.
Correct. I didn't know if you had any questions as to why or what's going on, but I can answer those if you want to. The request is for you to accept it. You will still receive it for the semi-annual book in 2 weeks.
Oh, that one.
Defer the Education Literacy Service Group to fiscal year 2019 second quarter report to the May 22nd, 2019 regular business committee meeting. What's the request?
So moved.
Dave made the motion. Is there a second?
Support.
Supported by Trish. Any further discussion on the deferral? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right.
Mr. Chairman.
David?
James is double booked with Troy, and they may not get here until 2:45, so if you want to move on to the next one.
All right. So administration's on. Public safety is done. Wells, septic, wastewater. Are you available? Ready? All right. We're moving on to number six on the reports.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
This is our first report in this format, so if there are recommendations for changes or what you'd like to see instead of what we've put in here, just let me know. But one of the outcomes for the utilities is to provide efficient customer service, and this first graph is depicting how the customers break down for the residential water, sewer, and then CWS's community wells and septic. So they are included in this as far as their customers and who they serve. Commercial water, sewer, and then there's the nation's buildings, water, and sewer. This group of employees that provide this service are highly licensed and experienced, and this is an area where the succession planning is really going to be a focal point to make sure that we have people ready to take these positions on, even learning where all the infrastructure lines are, all the septics are, all the buildings are, is a process for any new employee coming to the nation. We do have people that are learning, cross-training, and we learned with the septic pumping that there's some things for you to apply for a license to test to take it. You need a year or two experience to qualify for that testing. So we are recognizing that and trying to address it. As far as how this fits in with the overall goals of the priorities or the overall priorities, housing and health care, safe drinking water, disease prevention, safe processing of pout systems, and also the water sewer lines is critical for these buildings to offer their services. They also provide services for the new housing facilities as far as the plumbing department is doing the plumbing for the cottages. So I think it's extremely related to the priorities, although I think wells and septic and building maintenance ranked lowest on the survey. It's because people are accustomed to having water and sewer, so they're not going to say it's a priority. But if you take it away, it would be a big priority. So I think that's how we rank is, you know, you're dissatisfied if you don't have it, but doesn't mean you're looking at it as a priority, like healthcare and housing. Let's see, any other highlights here? We're trying to get our measurements together as far as what we'll be putting in the graphs. The home services, locate requests, that's where utilities has to do locates, like Digger's Hotline, for some of the areas when their work is being done. The utility work orders, they have their own work order system, so that's measuring it. And we had two major water main breaks that they addressed this winter. Another item this first quarter was the flooding that occurred. So they were critical in addressing the groundwater issues and trying to get the ditches cleared off the highway so that the water would off Henry. I'm trying to think where it was. It was right across from where we are because we had flooding too at DPW. So what they did was try to clear out the ditches, get the water running through the ditches so the basements weren't flooding, and then help the homeowners get their hot water heaters functioning again. There will be a major project going on, and that's the repair of water and sewer lines, and that's mainly IHS funded. There is some tribal contribution that was included in the CapEx budget for utilities. The septic system inspections is another IHS project. This is to protect the groundwater by inspecting, maintaining, and replacing failing septic systems. This is outcome number 3. And this is a jurisdictional and sovereignty issue. I believe it. I feel it's a very big one. This is where we are inspecting the pout systems just like any county does. They come under the tribe's jurisdiction, and then we'll have the database to track these and identify after 3 years who needs to get their inspections done. This has increased our funding for the IHS scattered sites. It's anticipated the project funding is going from $210,000 to $954,000. Now, this funding is used for new homes and for failing systems to address those. Again, it's a way that utilities support and wells and septic supports the overall number 1 and 2 priorities. Are there any questions?
David?
Going back to the chart with the customers, just a question. I notice there's 614 customers that have water, and there's 545 customers with sewer, and I'm wondering why that's not the same amount. If
there are some water laterals that serve homes, but there aren't septic necessarily. So some people are on the utility water lines, but not on the utility sewer lines, and they have septic systems yet.
Okay. And then the other thing was, what does CWS stand for?
Community Well Septic.
Oh, okay.
They've combined with the plumbing department over the last couple mm-hmm. years, so it's all together.
Okay. Thank you.
Trish?
No questions, but I want to recognize the team for actually looking at it from a perspective of everybody has a part and piece, role, responsibility. And it shows how they can come together, you know, when you need to. The communication is there. The relationship is getting stronger. And the output is the benefit to the people as well as the safety of the water.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know much about aquifers, but the groundwater and the rain and all of that stuff is causing problems with aquifers. But I would like to learn a little bit more about that, just so you know.
Okay.
But at some point in time, just maybe it's an infomercial or something to kind of help people understand where the importance of the aquifers coming through that provide water and systems to all of the reservation. The measurements in here are in the more in the detail of the writing. So if you can kind of pull those out a little bit, that
okay.
would probably be a lot. And then this is the support documentation. So I think I just want to compliment you on doing the report in this manner that really shows all of the different departments working towards the same outcome of health and safety, and keeping that priority in mind, you know, with the GTC priorities. Thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
It is challenging to do this by service area instead of business unit, because we're very used to doing it by business unit, and each one hands it in, and then we pull them together. So this takes the information, and then you have to synthesize it, and someone's got to
roll it up,
make it merge, and so it's a learning process for sure.
It's going to benefit us all in the end when it's all completed.
Any other questions or comments on the report?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All right. Motion by Trish, seconded by David. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Thank you. All right, item 8, the property building and property maintenance service group fiscal year 19 second quarter report.
Can I just say ditto?
No.
You can pass that one real quick.
This is pretty much along the same lines, but the maintenance best practices, that was one of our outcomes. And what we're trying to do is simultaneously several things at once to end up with an outcome of best practices. So the SOPs, we have someone working on those and in one department, and then we will be able to use those SOPs throughout each of the areas. We've focused on trainings, and the new building that we have our training rooms in at, I don't want to call it the old Circuit City, but that's been really, really helpful to us, that we can get many of our employees in there at once for trainings. The building assessments is where we have a team of experts go through the buildings, and then they develop a report on what they see needs to be done as far as work orders, groundskeeping, capital expenditures, and then we use that information to pursue getting the needed work accomplished. The efficiency analysis that I'm referring to are looking at vehicle usage, staffing levels, equipment usage. So various things we do and that cost money, we're looking at, is there better ways to do it? Is there better equipment to use that will reduce labor hours? Is there supplies that we can get that will reduce back injuries? So a lot of these are analyzing it for improvements on our operation. This is all important so that we can provide the delivery, the buildings that deliver the health services, governmental operations, and the other community services. That's how we see our role in the priorities. The succession planning, outcome number 2. I mentioned that in the last report a little bit. Just to quote from a magazine that I recently read, it says that the facility management industry is facing a succession planning and labor force crisis. It's not just here. So we do have people starting to retire that have been here 30, 40 years, have created quite a knowledge bank in their head, and a lot of things haven't been written down, and we're trying to make sure that when we have new people coming in, we're documenting what they need to do to fulfill their position. We were doing cross-training, building assessments, revising job descriptions, and all those are efforts towards the succession planning. It's not just identifying this person might take another person's position when they retire. It's setting everybody up to know, a lot more people know everyone's area. And a lot of this takes time. Like I said, if you hire HVAC tech, he needs to know exactly where 2,000-3,000 filters go in the 80 buildings. So it takes a little bit of time. Also, our workforce is 85% Oneida. We do, of course, post for Oneida only first. And that's another concern, is that we aren't getting Oneida people to apply for the positions, and then we need to open it up. So we are working and trying to have people interested. Maybe they work somewhere else within the nation, and this could be more of a career move for them. We've changed our job descriptions to reflect the need to get people that are interested and maybe not experienced, so taking off the experience in some positions so that they can be trained into them. We've had some successes with it. It's also a learning process. As far as the outcome number three, this is to increase the value of the infrastructure of the Oneida Nation and maintain it. Our Arquebus system tracks our work orders, and this is just one of the reports where we can get information on what's being done. Of course, just a count of work orders does not tell us everything, because each work order has a different amount of time that's dedicated to it, different number of people. We have implemented this for inventory systems in the automotive area and the custodial area. And in addition to the work orders, we have 29 major building improvement projects for this year that we are working on in different stages of completion. The next thing for the Arquebus system would be to polyline the buildings. We may have to contract that out. Engineering has the capabilities to do it, but it's a time constraint. There's other priorities that I agree take precedent over getting this into the Arquebus system. And then once they're in there, they're in there. So that might be a good area to look at contracting out. Having those in there would allow us for tracking space utilization through the Arquebus instead of through the spreadsheets that we currently use now.
All right, any questions on the report?
I can say ditto.
What?
I can say ditto on my commentary.
Okay. You can, but I can't, right?
I just had to make sure.
Oh, there is another item that we're looking into, GPS for the vehicles. That was probably looked into about 15, 20 years ago, and the technology has changed immensely. So there's where we can just plug it in. The reports, we've looked at three different webinars where we've gone through and looked what's available. The costs have come down on it. There's a lot of advantages. You can actually see where all the vehicles are. You can get reports on hard braking, on speeding. It will track the maintenance of when things need to come in, the idling time. It's pretty neat what it'll do. So we're looking at getting some for the DPW vehicles and seeing how that works, and then trying to roll it out. It varies depending on how many you buy, and then there's a monthly fee, anywhere from $15 a month to, I think it's the average, which I think we would have in savings as far as knowing the maintenance of the vehicles and where they are at all times.
Daniel?
I would just like to comment. I appreciate that you are focusing on having a succession plan, creating that plan. I think that's definitely really important. Glad to see that you're working on that. It's on there. On the previous report that you gave, you had customer service on there. I was really glad to see that also. That's something I had mentioned from the other areas to focus on is customer service training. And I did have a couple of questions on the fleet management. I know, I believe, I can't remember which meeting it was, but I had previously mentioned that there was grants out there for electric vehicles, so it's something that we could look into. I think Mike Choji might have the information on that. I guess too, as going back to the customer service, I just had a conversation with some elders who were looking for a vehicle for a conference, and they had not a good customer service experience with looking for a vehicle. They ended up having to take their own vehicle, so I don't know if there was a different, if it was an SOP issue or if it was just a customer issue.
Yeah. Okay. There are only about 4 vehicles at DPW available for use, and I think that's part of the problem, but you know, as far as the customer service and how that was communicated, I'll check on that too. As far as customer service training, I totally agree with that. We do have our custodial department working with HRD to set up a specific training for them, and then we'll use that model for the rest of DPW. The electric vehicles, is that the Volkswagen grant that you're talking about?
That was, yeah, something that I think I mentioned it yesterday, mm-hmm. I believe, and also mentioned it to Michelle. You know, a lot of retail operations are starting to utilize one station, but this discussion was based on fleet vehicles and utilizing 1 to 2 charging stations. So a lot of, you know, DPWs of other organizations are looking to that. And so there's opportunities for that through NREL, through GRID, through other areas that we can, you know, just kind of look for the opportunities with our
right.
their goals.
We do have a request to put in a charging station at Shenandoah because there are 3 employees there that have electric vehicles, so we're looking into that. We just got that request a couple weeks ago. So I think the charging stations will be at the, you know, you think about employees want it where they're working.
Yeah, I would just check with Mike Choji because I think right. there was a specific grant out there.
I just wanted to mention in the past when I was general manager, Environmental did a pilot project with a couple Prius vehicles. So those were plug-in chargeable, and I don't know what happened to it. they were using the Prius when I left, so we can probably check with Pat and see what the evaluation was with that. But it apparently didn't take hold beyond the Environmental Department pilot project.
Right. Any other questions? Ernie?
There's a meeting that I'm scheduling with Michael and a few others on this very subject. So I want to say that I did mention you to him. So I'll make sure you're included
right.
We're
in communication on this too. And I asked him for that grant if mowers or other type of equipment would qualify. We don't have very many diesel vehicles anymore. A lot of it's to get rid of diesel vehicles. So we've been doing that, you know, anyway. But you know, our diesel equipment is quite a bit of mowers and other heavy equipment. Is there any funding for looking at weed eaters, for instance? You know, do you go to battery operated? That's a new thing now, is using battery operated weed eaters and blowers. And so, what's the situation on something other than vehicles as well?
Just last comment, the technology has advanced quite a bit very fast in the last 3, 4, or 5 years alone. It's been an eye-opening experience for me, learning some things and attending some of these summits, and that's kind of where that discussion comes from, is, you know, there are different organizations that can provide resources to either do those studies again, like kind of refresh that study. So feasibility studies, market studies, you know, things like that for not just our fleets, but retail and whomever. So that's part of the goal that Mike's, you know, kind of in the process on. But also, of course, the infrastructure, and that there's funding available for that as well. So I'll be, you know, heading to Denver next week, and there'll be a lot of those individuals that represent those entities there. And so hopefully I can make some contacts to bring back. But they're looking for places to basically pilot test again and to see who's interested, who has energy plans. So part of the purpose of doing our energy plan as well as our climate change plan, our process of doing climate adaptation, by having those documents in place, funders, you know, they're drawn to that. And so we're checking those boxes and on our side, and hopefully we can garner some mm-hmm. some significant funds in the near future as well as this coming year. So
what we're looking at is we are collecting the mileage on all vehicles and looking at the mileage rates per year. We've noticed some vehicles are barely used, and we need to look at whether those are worth keeping. The low cost way of energy savings, of course, is having less miles driven. in many cases, meetings don't need to be held where everyone's driving to the meeting, or where we can use technology instead of driving paper here and there. All those things are, you know, as far as efficiencies. Also, the break-even point between having a vehicle and mileage reimbursement. Departments are asking for fleet vehicles, which I said there's about four of them, a couple vans, which makes sense for the vans. But at some point, it used to be about 15,000 miles. If you didn't put that on in a year, it really is better that you're paying out the mileage reimbursement, because when you add up the depreciation for a $20,000 vehicle, plus you're adding the insurance there, plus the maintenance, plus the gas and oil, and whatever else, the tire, you know, maintenance of that vehicle, if it's not utilized to that extent, it may be better just to be paying the mileage reimbursement. I know departments don't like that because it comes directly out of their budget, but if we budget for a new vehicle, that's in CapEx, they don't see that cost. So I will be bringing this forward that, you know, this vehicle, and this vehicle, the way they're being used, it should be mileage reimbursement, and we don't replace those.
Daniel?
Just on a related topic, Michael R.C., Environmental, and Pat Pelkey just said, recently informed us that there's some new technologies out there with even lawnmowers. They're pretty much, I guess, unmanned lawnmowers.
There's a remote lawnmower that we'll be putting it in our budget. We were at the demonstration, and part of that is a safety issue because it can go to a 50-degree incline and mow the ditches. So if you look at the ditches over at the Turtle School and County H and some of them that conservation do, it either you're using a weed eater to do that whole ditch, or you're kind of in an unsafe, precarious position in order to keep that rider from tipping, or you're trying to use a push mower, which is tip very hard on your back. So they thought they had a grant to pay for part of one, but it cannot be used for that. So we're going to submit it and see what happens.
Cool.
So I'm glad to hear you support that.
Yeah.
Is that like the GPS tractor?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, David.
So on another related question, this might be for Larry and Joanne. Yesterday I got a phone call that, so if you would actually use your own vehicle for work, and you know you have to have that higher insurance, everybody is required to have that insurance. The question is, there's a department that's talking about making the employee have business insurance on their policy, which is really high, and the employee called me wondering what that's all about, because the employee would not be able to afford that insurance if they moved to business. And I thought if you had the higher insurance, you could transport people, employees in your car, and get reimbursed for mileage. So I don't know where this is coming from, but I just thought I'd bring this up because you brought the topic up about taking mileage instead of purchasing a car, so I just thought this would fit in that same category.
Joanne?
There are two different applications that you're talking about. If I'm an employee, I have to carry a certain level of insurance, and I continue to argue with Bob Keck about this, but it's a reasonable level and a reasonable price insurance. It's personal insurance. We have changed our independent contractor form so that it no longer reflects vehicle insurance in, I believe it's Section 10. That section now identifies that the vendor, consultant, contractor, whatever you want to call them, now must carry generally applicable industry standard levels of insurance. And that may be business insurance. And depending on what it is that you're doing, it's not that significantly priced. I think, again, when we were changing this particular portion of the foreign contract.
Did you accidentally summon me?
I did. Sorry. When we talked about this, it was determined that it's not motor vehicle insurance that we care about making sure that contractors have. It's the appropriate business-related insurance. For example, if they're teaching our children, that they have whatever necessary insurance in place in order to teach our children. If they're driving a bunch of kids someplace, that type of thing. We've required this of all vendors, but we are getting some vendors which are also employees of the tribe, and that may be where that kind of confusion is coming up. But it is a requirement in our contracts now that they have the appropriate level of business-related insurance.
Well, and that's not the case, because this employee is just a frontline employee at Elderly Services and was told that they may have to get business insurance because something happened with one of the employees got into an accident, and
I believe that there are some specifics regarding that incident. That individual should be referred to Risk Management, Bob Keck, to address those specific questions. I'm aware of an incident that has occurred, and I believe there are some misunderstandings.
Okay, because it's other employees that are scared now, and that's why they called me, and I just wanted to address this and try to find out what's really going on, because
if you read your insurance policies for your vehicle, it probably says personal use only, not for business. And I think that's what people get concerned about. And I'm not sure about, you know, if you said I was using this for work, how would that insurance company handle it? That might be more what you're talking about.
And that could very well be true. However, the priority of insurance is duked out on heads, positions way above mine. That was the instance that was occurring, and it's the first time it's ever occurred. So, again, Bob Keck is looking into it very carefully.
Okay, because this individual supervisor was basically trying to push all of them to have that insurance now, and it's just that and the employee said, well, why don't we have more vehicles? And that's just why I'm kind of questioning this right at the same point that you brought this up now. So,
it's a good question. I know, like, pizza delivery where somebody's using their vehicle quite a bit for work and they have just personal insurance, there could be issues there if they got into an accident. Or maybe it's because they're carrying other employees. We do have an issue, so when we are required to go to training at the Radisson, the custodial employees, we took it off their job description because at the pay rate they get to carry that higher level of insurance, you know, was a detriment. So we said, we won't ask you to drive for your job, and most are stationary in buildings, so they don't need to. But then when we say, you have to go to this training over at the Radisson, how are they supposed to get there? So, you know, or is it okay that one time that they drive, or we're not going to pay them for driving, although we'll pay all the salaried people for driving? I think it needs to be worked on and looked at and defined better for us.
So, Joan, are you recommending me to tell this employee to get a hold of Bob Keck?
I am.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions on the report?
Nope. Motion to accept.
Motion by David, seconded by Trish. All those in any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
That leaves only the one report for Environmental Health Safety Land Division.
I received the email, but he didn't think he'd be here till 3, but he said he might try to be here by 2:45, and it's 2:45 now, so it's up to you what you want to do. He had to do some bid openings at the same time, and then he checked with Troy, and Troy was booked, so.
Lisa?
For the purposes of the semi-annual report, the report's accepted today. I need to get them done and over to printing so that they can start the pre-press work. So if you accept this today without, you know, recapping what's in the report itself, because it was in the packet and duly noticed, my only request is that one of the BC members would follow up with Troy's area as well as I don't know if it's Troy that put the report together, but with the planning service group and the governmental administration service group, asking them to
going forward, use the template provided, because that they didn't use the template, so it will cause more work for printing in their pre-press work to figure out what needs to go where, if that makes sense. That's all.
Trish?
This is a presentation format, is that what you're saying? Is it
correct? So each of the service groups was provided a template to follow for this quarter's report, noting that this quarterly report would then be forwarded to printing to be included in the semi-annual report. So all I'm asking is for the business committee to follow up directly with whoever's in charge of the governmental administration service group and the planning service group, asking them to use the template provided going forward.
I'm going to make a motion to accept this second quarter report, and then I will work with Troy and
Brian.
Well, Brian heard it now, so he's here. But I will work with Troy and James, because James is going to stop by anyhow. So I will explain to him moving forward that they have to follow the template.
Right. Motion by David. Is there a second?
Second.
Trish, discussion.
I don't know who the service group is. Just planning, zoning, and development service group. So it's all three of them. Mm-hmm. But that's one division. So I'm just a little confused on the service group itself. And I'll stick with the motion, because I think there's definite clarification that needs to be given to help improve the report.
All right, any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. So I believe that concludes our operational reports portion of the business committee meeting. A motion to adjourn at 2:50 would be in order by David. Is there a second?
Nope. We got to go back.
One more?
Remember, we had to go fix that one. Take it off the table.
Oh, yes.
Number nine.
Travel requests.
So I'll make a motion to take from the table.
All right. David made the motion to take from the table travel request A. Approve the travel request in accordance with 216.16-1, 5 child support staff to the National Tribal Child Support Association Conference in Temecula in June 23rd through the 27th. The motion has been made and seconded. Trish seconded.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. David?
Make a motion to delete this item from the agenda.
Support. David makes the motion. Trish supports it. Is there any further discussion on the deletion? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Now it's
motion to adjourn at 2:52.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. That was the last add-on, our new business. David makes the motion at 2:52, seconded by Ernie to adjourn. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you, everyone.